When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bingetown, how are we feeling today? It's your boy Dave, and I'm joined by the OG anime squad of Alki and Kyle, and we are continuing to stand on business with our coverage of Solo Leveling with episodes six and seven, titled The Real Hunt Begins, and Let's See How Far I've Come. And to quote the great Charles Barkley, them young boys coming.
Okay. It was his birthday yeah, yesterday, right?
Happy birthday, Charles.
There's so much funny crap online about him.
But yeah, our boy Sung hasn't even reached his peak yet, which is crazy because I already feel like I view him as a god. Just absolutely wild two episodes here. Let's just get out of the way because episode six was an all-time anime episode, period, to be honest for me.
Cool.
As close to peak fiction as you can possibly get. Overall, though, both episodes were phenomenal. Words really can't describe just how much I'm in love with this story and these episodes and this anime. But that's all I have for a quick introduction if you guys want to give your thoughts on the episodes.
Seven felt quick, if I'm honest. But we learned some important things in it, so it's like a good episode. But yeah, six was just fucking fantastic. I feel like I watched probably 10 reaction videos for episode six.
I need to do more of that.
Yeah, maybe like two for episode seven. But every time a new one popped up on my feed, I was like, I mean, I might as well watch them react to fucking Jim Woo being the guy.
Yeah, reactions are the best just because it feels like I'm re-experiencing reading for the first time or, you know, watching for the first time.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Any thoughts you want to get in?
Yeah, just the wrap-up of the dungeon and those douchebags there, the introduction of his right-hand man, we'll call him.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just, like I've been saying, it's just so cool seeing it, you know, moving on the screen. And episode seven was insightful for sure.
I just love how the fights are really getting the animation juice and like beauty that you would expect from an anime like this. And so these two episodes really did show that. But we'll start with episode six, again, by far the best episode of the series. And it's only going to get better, which is still crazy to say, but it's only going to get better from here. I want to knock out these couple random side stories that happen before we get into the main story of Sung Jin-woo. The first just being we have the chairman of the Hunters Association just talking to Jin Chul about reinforcing again that people just can't get stronger. They have a little sparring match one-on-one, and you can kind of learn that you can hone your body and techniques to help boost your quote unquote strength, but physically you're not going to get any stronger. But there are ways kind of around that, I guess.
I liked that detail because that was something I think we brought up on the podcast, actually. It's just like, can't you just like get stronger like a normal human could? And I don't know. It obviously, it's not going to add like, it's not going to jump you from B to A, but
yeah,
it could make you a really good B.
It could separate you from other B characters for sure. And maybe even give you maybe not an edge against an A, but
more than other people.
Even the playing ground a little bit.
I really like the chairman and Jin Chul's characters that are very new in the anime, obviously. So watching people react, and it was like, get us back to Jin Woo type of stuff for sure.
That's funny.
But they're great characters. They're just laying the foundation that'll be very important. The chairman, I think, is one of my favorite side characters. So
I would agree with both of them, to be honest. I think both of them are two of my favorites.
I just love the chairman's design. It's such an elite old anime look.
Scarred up.
It's just perfect. It's everything you'd want.
And then the other quick scene we have is a group of high ranking hunters having lunch, discussing the last, I think it was A rank mission that they did together. Just only bringing this up just because we can talk about our girl Cha.
With the fit.
Yeah, they all gush over her and how incredible she is. And I have to agree. Yeah. I have to bring it up because we're just so in love with her. So
she is such a tease.
She is incredible.
It's such a tease. Though. I can't wait till she plays a bigger role.
We've seen the girl with glass. Well, where have we seen any of these three before? Like, were some of them on the Jeju Island raid? Or are these just like kind of three hunters that they throw at us? I feel like we've maybe seen a brief moment, one or two of them, but it's not big enough for them. I didn't get their names or anything. So
if it did happen, I don't remember it.
Yeah. But those are the two quick scenes. Otherwise, now we can get into the big boy of the episode, which is opening with Dong Suk's crew coming out of the gate, going over their plan to loot the dungeon after the boss has finished killing Sung Jin-woo and Jin-ho. But the only reason I'm mainly bringing this up is just because I want to talk about how they discuss how impressive the boss is, saying that, oh, do you think we could have, you know, taken this thing down together? And Dong Suk even says it would have been tough for all of us together to even take that thing down. So they're going to wait for the boss to kill Sung and go back to sleep. But just to give a little power scaling here of just how strong Sung Jin-woo has become by the end of this episode.
I think also to showcase the depth of their depravity, I guess, let's say, an alliteration's sake. They're like, I mean, we should attend their funerals and stuff like that. So they're just like putting on that mask and playing that role type of deal. And they're so practiced at it.
They do really emphasize, I feel like, in the anime, more so in the manga, how hunters are just absolute rats and weasels, because that's kind of part of the conversation that Jin Chul and the chairman are having, is, you know, talking about how certain instances bring out the worst in people. And this is one of those instances.
I like it too. I you know, I say it for every anime we cover, when the stakes are high, it makes it all that more exciting. And, you know, one of our favorite shows is The Boys, and The Boys is like that, where people with powers are freaking assholes. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that it would be the same in this world. So it's just cool to draw that parallel.
Especially when the resources are as valuable as they're getting in these. We're now, I think this is a C rank dungeon we got. So even here, we're having, you know, quote unquote, average hunters, you know, expressing their greed just for a low rank C dungeon. Like, imagine the stakes of an S rank dungeon. So, yeah, just things to think over. They mention also that, they're also talking about the strength, saying that you need to be at least a B rank or a high rank C to take down a C rank boss by yourself. So again, just more perspective on how far Sung Jin-woo has come. I think by the time he left the snake in episode like 4 or 5, whatever that was, we assumed he was maybe at a low, high C, low B. So this is just kind of re-emphasizing that again. But yeah, then we get the fight here. The very first shot after Sung deals his first attack and lands with his back to the camera, I thought was just such a clean look, and exactly almost depicted right out of the manga, which obviously it is, but like in terms of like the clean drawings and the animation, it just felt so perfect and it just got me so hype.
I like the colors too. I just like how colorful it is. It still feels like fantasy type of stuff. It's not like the content, like Aoki's saying, is quote unquote realistic in terms of the way that people act. You could say it's kind of dark in that sense, but I feel like it's still colorful and like lit well, that it's just, I don't know, I just enjoy that. Obviously we know the art in the webtoon is fantastic, so
so cool.
Yeah,
I loved in the webtoon, you know, when the eyes drag, like the color of the eyes, that's like the best. And you know, they're kind of doing it a little bit
at the end of episode 7 when the brother is introduced. He has the red eye, and it kind of does it. Yeah,
and I think like when you see Sung Jin-woo's bloodlust, you definitely get his glowing eyes too, which is not a feature of his ability. It's just a artistic choice.
Yeah.
But I just want to say the animation is freaking good, bro.
Dude, this was such
it's fucking
great
good. Like, I like to see it. Like, I at first I was I know in the first episode or whatever, I was like thinking it might be a little kiddish, but it's definitely, they're doing so much with what they have. You know what I mean? And it's smooth. And I think that's what you need. And like, that's definitely what JJK was lacking in some of the big fights and shit. Cause like, because like right now, this fight with the spider, I mean,
like I feel like I could see Sung Jin-woo's full character design while he's moving at those speeds, whereas in JJK, it might just be like a blob.
Yeah, it's not like smeared. You know what I'm saying? It's crisp. His speed jumps out at you. Mm-hmm. And I've been really enjoying that. Like, you know, it makes you say like, oh shit. And it's a freaking cartoon, but you know, when the story portrays the ability so well, where it's like you're impressed by this fantasy, it's just the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and the art in the webtoon was like that as well. Exactly. So we talked about it earlier of how well it captured motion. And you even said earlier, Alki, that it's so fun to watch it move on the screen, even though it felt like it was moving on the screen. It's just, this is like taken to such a higher level. It's just, it feels fun as fuck to watch it go down.
Yeah. Like the one panel that specifically comes to mind when he's fighting the spider is how he's dodging the legs in the panel. And like, it's just a lightning streak on the panel, but here it's actually tracking the movement. So
yeah,
cool to see that come alive. And again, like you were saying, Alki, when someone is super fast in an anime, just makes things so fun, especially after the full recovery that he gets into here. So
yeah,
he's obviously taken a beating and he comes into the dungeon a little bit weak too, I guess, with
name for it. He has the little stat. What is it? Fatigue? Is it fatigue?
Fatigue. Yeah, the fatigue.
Yeah, stat. I like that's
he was fatigued fighting the spider.
Yeah, so I think he was like, his energies were already kind of low, I guess, going through the dungeon. And then he had just completed his daily quest as well. So there wasn't really a time for him to fully recover.
When he got to the dungeon.
The very beginning, if he was at 100%, I think at the very beginning of this fight, he would have wiped the floor with the spider. But because he had just done the daily quest and everything, he wasn't 100%.
It was 57, I think they showed when he first looked. But and then like 70 seems to be the cutoff where he like has the impact, and then that kind of changes the fight a little bit.
This is the perfect chance for us to talk about the new skills we see in action. Baby, the dash looked so fucking good. I loved how it had the like tornadoes around his ankles almost when he's planting that foot to let loose. And the dash, as simple as it is still, even by the end, is still one of my favorite skills that he uses.
Must have ability.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And we talked about it too. This was a perfect introduction to it because we mentioned an episode, let's call it 3, maybe it was,
mm-hmm.
when he pulls up his screen and they're like kind of there, but not there. But we agree, like eventually, like they have to show that he has these abilities type of thing. And I thought this was done in a perfect way. And then we get another one at the end, all that kind of stuff. So, because that's also a really fun part, is he's stacking abilities too. Like the level goes up and it's cool to see the number go up. And
he's
cool
still using all of them. Like he doesn't
the stat to go up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, unlocking new abilities, leveling those abilities up. Like that's such an extra fun part of this. So it's just like great. Dave just displaying that he's one of those fuckers on Helldivers that just sits in the game and steals a server spot.
Yep.
I don't get why that's bad.
We won't explain that, but comedic side of this is Jin-Ho kind of sitting in the corner reacting to all this, just shitting his pants at how this E ranker is just going toe to toe with the C rank boss. And what comes to his mind is that Sung-jin-woo is a false ranker, which we learn about is just people who hide their powers to basically kill people in dungeons, bad people. And so that's where he is assuming that Sung-jin-woo is one of these people. So I it's valid in his feelings. I would be scared shitless too. Like this E ranker all of a sudden is just piecing up this C rank boss. So I understand.
Red player.
You also think like, what would be the point of, I'm trying to think of another reason why you would want to hide your magic power. Doesn't feel like there's benefits out there.
I also was thinking like, I am under the impression that a simple background check, like literally as easy as it is to just like look up somebody's name and find them on Instagram or Facebook, it would like reveal everything. So that seems a little far-fetched.
They're saying that like they can control their magic power, that when they take the test, they purposely get a lower rank.
Oh, I think you're right. Thing. I guess you're right.
Which feels like there's no reason to do that beyond some level of nefarious intent. Because would you want to be lower ranked and make less money?
That's the thing. I feel like
solo easy dungeons and get a lot of spoils.
You can't go in them alone at like a low rank like that, I feel like.
Yeah, good point. I don't know.
I just that feels like So you would immediately obviously jump to that, like, okay, he's obviously something's up with this guy. I'm scared. And then he fucking is picking up at the end too, and he's picking up the fucking axe and he's trying to harvest the shit. It's so funny.
Which I feel like is a little bit of a, it will be a callback eventually, but, you know, kind of talking about the spoiler. Yeah. So kind of cut out the one man army kind of thing. So
it's just funny. Yeah.
And it was, I like how he just immediately starts calling him boss or Aniki.
Aniki, yeah.
He knows.
He's a survivalist.
Yeah, he's a survivalist.
Song Jinwoo was once in his shoes, so we'd know. But the saving grace of this whole thing, kind of what we hinted at the end of last episode, was that Sung had never used his daily request reward of full recovery, which he uses in the middle of this battle to give himself back to full health and just wipe the floor with this monster. It seems like the eye gouging is going to be a big part in Song Jinwoo's fighting, so we'll see.
I mean, you're weak there and you have this little dagger, you might as well.
I mean, it's realistic because, I mean, personally, if I see a monster that big and its shell is hard as rock, and the only thing I can think of is, you know, its eyes.
That's what you do. You jump up.
Yeah.
About all the democracy we've been spreading on Helldivers. Just go after them weak points. They glow for a reason.
That's
might as well get after them.
But Dong Suk, after killing the boss, Dong Suk does return with his crew. Surprised to see both of the two low rank hunters alive, but he assumes that Jin Ho was the one to defeat the boss because of his flashy armor.
Such a good running gag.
Like everyone just overlooks Sung Jin Woo because of this guy's armor. Like even if he's a D rank, it's just his armor carries him.
So good. I was seeing too where he kind of gives them the ultimatum here, where he's like pretty much fine, like one of you can join the crew, like you gotta kill Sung Jinwoo to join. And as he kind of like walks over, and it was just funny watching reactions and people being like, don't do it, like there's no way. And then obviously he turns around and puts the shield, and then everyone's like, yeah, he's the homie.
It's just so funny watching him stand to defend Sung Jinwoo, even though he knows full on that Sung Jinwoo does not need him to defend him. But it's just emphasizes Jinho's personality. He's just a great
guy. Jinwoo saved his life, don't forget.
Yeah. And I think he's trying to return the favor here, obviously.
He's a rider.
Yeah, it just gives good insight into Jinho's character. But yeah, like Kyle said, an ultimatum is struck. Jinho defends Sung Jinwoo, and Dong Suk's crew take a little bit of a lackadaisical approach to handling Sung Jinwoo here. And
I mean, not tactically, because that dude definitely hit him with that Rasengan right in the face.
True. He hits him with a fire attack first, and everyone's assuming that Sung Jinwoo is dead, but he's not. And all the crew members are like, oh, you must have held back a little bit. And he's like, yeah, totally. And it hit his head. He's like, that was the strongest attack I could have mustered up, and he's still alive.
They're doing such a good job with the mental like changes that Sung Jinwoo is undergoing. And we talked about it in the instance dungeon episode where he's like screaming about the world and how like it's unfair and like he hates the selfishness, but like he doesn't have a choice type of deal. And like when the like inverted colors are like taking over his face and like you hear his heart beating and stuff. And then like, we learn like that he has this quest with the system and he's like, fuck it. Like, you know, pretty much no more Mr. Nice Guy. Like if the system's going to use me, I'm going to use the system. Like only the strong survive. Like I love when he gets in this mode.
I feel like this inner monologue of intense hatred that he has towards other hunters is really captured well in the anime, because when you're reading something like this, you don't really get the vocal tone, obviously. And so when I read it, I feel like I just remember kind of thinking like it's just him casually thinking about the world. But here I kind of liked that the real anger that was kind of coming out from within him. And it does come back a little bit.
Frustration.
Later. Yeah, the frustration and everything. I really thought I just wasn't expecting the scene to be as kind of dark and scary as it was, I guess. Yeah.
He's changed a lot in these last few episodes. I mean, six or seven, they flashed an image of him from like episode one, and he literally doesn't look anything like
him. Yeah.
Looks like a little teddy bear.
Yeah, he looks like a twerp, you know, and now he's a baller already, and it's just going to be a fun ride.
Yeah. So the system is triggered and it initiates an urgent quest. There are people that want to kill the player. defeat them and ensure your safety. The system is urging Sung Jin-woo to kill. Again, this kind of goes into what we were just been talking about, but just that first slice of the guy wrapping his arm around Sung Jin-woo, thinking everything's going to be so easy for him. And Sung Jin-woo just holds the knife to his neck and just little yeet, cuts his head off. And from there, everyone else just gets absolutely massacred. Just
perfectly paced. Just perfectly paced.
He actually butchered like every single one.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. And they actually let you watch, like they showed it, yes, which is the best part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Kyle.
It's, I mean, they don't shy away from it. I thought the worst part is definitely the guys where the drain effect and the paralysis effect actually hit them and they're like bleeding out of their eyes or throwing out blood and stuff. And then,
I love the noise.
The music comes in and the music, and you don't get the music when you're reading, like Dave kind of mentioned. So it just was like an absolute perfect story. It was just so fucking good. It was better than I could have imagined.
I have to say, like, as a reader of this, watching it in an anime, it's been more satisfying than JJK. I have to be honest. Like, I think JJK is probably a better manga and more like a deeper story and like everything. Yeah, but yeah, something about this story is so fucking fun.
It is just the ultimate just hype quick
story. Yeah, it's pure battle to the metal. Like, we're fucking people up and we're not going to stop fucking people up until the last fucking sentence of the story.
That's what it's like you said. I mean, JJK is just, it is 300 plus chapters, I'm assuming, of pure like story. Right now, while the fights are amazing in that, this solely like hinges on the fights.
Like, everything about JJK is objectively better, but something about this is just more fun.
It's just hype, man.
I don't know what it is. This is like so much fun.
It's because we just know what's coming and we can all just sit there and watch and just react so well.
But who didn't have fun is definitely Hwang Dun Suk.
Yeah,
his brother was having no fun.
He's never seen that fuck around and find out chart in his life. That's for
sure. My god.
Basically, you'd be so cocky, you're a C rank, like big whoop, bro. You're like a 70 out of 100.
Well, okay, him specifically, it's not fine, but he can do it because he has his brother to back him up.
That makes it even lamer.
Yeah, 100%. But like, he can back it up because he can just cry out to his brother.
Yeah, he just picks on weaker people. So he definitely
younger brother is even the that's even cornier.
That's even that's even the bigger like foot in the fucking But
He has a cool power though.
Yeah,
the reinforcement's cool. It looks sick too. It's just he's not like that. He thought he was like that, but he's not like that.
You're not that guy, pal.
No,
no, definitely not.
So he does call out to, he does say, you know, right before his head's decapitated, he says, "You don't even know who my brother is." Boom, silence. Sung Jin-woo doesn't give a fuck who your brother is.
Yeah.
Kills him anyway.
Because he's been leveling up this whole time.
It's just so...
ultimate disrespect, too. The fucking palm to the face, smashed into the ground, no idea what just happened, is like... like, you, no one's ever been a little boyed more than that.
That's for sure.
Like, he should have hit him with the Greg Dorch too small afterwards. That would have been funny.
Oh, I love it.
People were legitimately shocked. Like, I was watching reactions and people's mouths were just open. Like, literally from the first knife slice to then the head hits the ground and people were like, oh my god. And then it ends with him decapitating this guy and everyone was just like,
I mean, 100%.
He literally
that
just
was
killed
me
six people. Like, what the fuck?
That was 100% me reading.
So good.
Yeah, and then right before he kills Dong Suk too, he's the anger again. We're talking about that aura, that purple black aura that's emanating from him. His eyes are just the light blue and just looking as hot as ever. But wipes the floor with everyone.
Not ever. We'll get there.
True. We need one more little haircut and we're good.
Yeah, he needs another haircut for sure.
But Jin-ho is visibly queasy from the events that just transpired and starts yakking, and I don't blame him at all. This poor guy is getting dragged through the mud.
Yeah, he's queasy. He's like, that is so hot.
He recovers quickly, though. I mean, they get interviewed afterwards, and granted, he doesn't really say much, but he's ready to go and quote-unquote carry the lie when she's like, oh my god, look at your armor. It's so expensive. You obviously did all this, and he just kind of like,
yeah, and this was with the girl that was at the lunch that we had previously referenced as well. One of the girls at the lunch, too.
Great point.
So recurring character there. I don't know how important her character will be in the anime, but we'll see going forward. But yeah, the last shot of this episode really quickly is just a big brooding man who I won't, well, I guess I can officially say his name is Huang Dong Su. So eerily similar to the brother's name.
You got Su and Suk.
Yeah, it should just be pretty obvious. Just excitement for a new character to be introduced that obviously is very powerful. We won't get too much into that until the very end of this episode. But if you guys have no further comments, we can just jump right into episode 7.
Comment is just the last line being, I'm glad I gave her that umbrella. I think twofold. One, shows that, like, yeah, he's thinking about his family always. Mm-hmm. And two, he's not really dwelling so much on the fact that he just killed six people. We see in episode 7, it's still kind of a psychological thing, but it's not like, oh my God, I just murdered seven people. It's just
he,
like,
gets over it very
quickly. He's just like, all right, like, that was kind of what I had to do.
They started.
He's very accepting of it. It's true. Yeah, he's that's accepting of it.
Yeah. All right. So we open up with episode 7 again. We're probably just going to, I'm just going to knock out, I think it's just maybe one side scene that we get, but it's at the very beginning. It's Jin Chul is informed about the C-rank dungeon that we just finished talking about. And at first is not really intrigued by the events of what happened, just because it's typical for raid members to be wiped out during dungeons. But there are two interesting, I guess, twist to it that catch Jin Chul's ears. The first being is that two survivors were actually able to beat the boss. So in my head, I guess I imagine in these situations, most of the group is wiped out and then the rest run away without beating the boss. There's no hope, so they run away. However, in this scenario, obviously they were able to beat the boss. So that kind of gets him a little bit interested, but he's not totally there. But the second point that really gets him there is that Song Jin-woo was involved, and that really piques his interest just because of the coincidence of
the common denominator.
Exactly. The common denominator. I guess there's a third one being that the guy who died was the brother of Huang Dong-su.
Yeah.
Dong-su. So,
yeah, that I assume they'll explain that more in detail. They didn't really get into it so much in this episode, but they kind of explained to us later on that he's not in Korea.
Yes. Correct. I was kind of, even though I knew he wasn't in the same country as them, they should have made it a little bit more obvious. Like, oh, because the only comment I think he says is, oh, what happens if I kill someone in a different country? And it's like, okay, there's, I guess, if you had missed that, though, then you would have no idea. But it's kind of cool. Again, I wasn't even really going to talk about it. But again, just building on the world, each country, I guess, has different laws around hunters, depending on whether they're, I guess, pro hunter or not. Establishes how the trial of murder is going to go. And so basically in this situation, I think what everyone should just take away is that if Wang kills Sung Jin-woo, essentially he's just going to get a slap on the wrist.
Wait a second. Is Sung Jin-woo in Japan or Korea?
I think it's Japan. I don't even know. Point. They haven't even, I don't even think.
So where's Hung Do-su?
See, you know what they've mentioned? The subway stations, and we easily could have looked it up, but
no, I think they've just Japanified everything. So
I'm just going to say really quickly, this spoiler or not, this might be, but I think Huang is supposed to be in the U.S. because he gets recruited by someone that we haven't met yet.
Kyle's he 100% boy. Is.
Yeah. So,
I mean, they haven't said it, but that's where he is.
But I think where Song Jin-woo is Japan. I've been looking out for it. I don't think they've said Japan yet. They've just said this country or our country, things like that.
I think it's Japan, but anyway, thank you, because you mentioned Korea and I'm like, wait, is he in Korea and what's Japan? It may be in the manhwa it was like the other way around, but now Kyle, you refresh my memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know. I'm trying to read articles quickly, and the only one I can see is that they said they were gonna substitute Japanese names for the Korean counterparts, but like that has not happened. I mean, his name's Sung Jin-woo.
Mm-hmm. But it should be like three names in Korean and they just mashed them together.
Yeah.
So okay. I guess I had something else in mind, but
that's why I just like Japan. What do you mean?
Well, I thought they would maybe like legitimately change their names. Like they're
that's
just taking a hyphen out.
Japanified everything. Like, you're like, okay, I'm not going to say anything more, but
I get where you're coming from. And I think Kyle does as well, but
it's just, for him, it seems like they just removed a hyphen. It's like, okay,
well, I think, if anything, in season 2, when we actually start getting across the country, I feel like is when they'll start clarifying this kind of stuff. But for now, I'm in the mindset that this is all taking place in Japan. And then back to our main character, Sung Jin-woo, comes home with some goodies that surprise his sister since he's usually a cheapskate. He has some
fried chicken and beer, baby.
Like Kyle said, he's always thinking of the fans. So
yeah.
And so funny. This is where he reflects on the events of the dungeon for like 2 seconds until he has a sip of beer to relax, but then is immediately purged. He has gained rewards from completing the Courage of the Weak quest back from the Cartanon Temple in episodes 1 and 2. Which I've never actually read this before, but it grants him the great spell caster Kandiaru's blessing. That's the name of both of these abilities. So the first one was a temporary buff that healed all of his injuries, which he was granted immediately after the Cartanon Temple, which is why he was able to restore his limbs. So that one's gone. That was a temporary buff that is no longer usable. It was grayed out, I think, on the screen for him. But then the second one here, is a long-term buff called Health and Longevity, which gives him immunity to toxic and abnormal conditions, as well as improved regenerative capacity. So, I mean, I've lost track at this point. I think he's a little bit below level 30, between 20 and 30. And I feel like immunity to poison, insane regen, the dash, like all of this is putting him in that God tier that I was talking about at the very beginning of the episode, even though we haven't really met any of the quote unquote gods of this world, like the S rank hunters and things like that. But toxic alone,
he's not there yet. We know that.
The immune
is pretty much the point of this episode, is that he's not there yet.
The immunity to poison, I think, is just so crazy.
It sucks. Can't drink beer, dude.
Well, that also sucks.
It's like the best way possible to show us that. Though that was so, I remember laughing when I read it. It was still funny in this sense. It's just, it was such a good way to show it.
And his sister's like, "Yo, you're drinking too much." And he's like,
"Well, she just looks into his room and it's just him in the dark with like the whole six pack drink." She's like, "Yeah," she's like, "What's up?" Don't worry about it.
It's like, "Oh, little do you know, sis, I just slaughtered 6 men."
But he's not actually drunk.
2 beers per.
That's good.
But this is where Jin-ho calls Sung to lunch, and it's all about Jin-ho wanting to put together a strike team together in order for him to become a guild master. And in order to become a guild master, one needs to complete a total of 20 gates. And so Jin-ho has completed 1 with Sung here. Now he has to do 19 more. He wants to become a guild master for his father's company. I think it was Wu Jin Construction.
I think it's Yujin.
Yujin. Yes, it is. Y-O-O-J-I-N. Yep. Yujin Construction. They're looking to put together a guild in order to just harvest the resources and money from Gates, all for the company's purpose, which to me, honestly, at first sounds like a little bit of a greedy, you know, big pharma move. But knowing Jin-ho is like kind of the saving grace of all this, Sung kind of knows that Jin-ho is a good person. But it does sound like a little like corporate overlord kind of thing here.
It also seems like shocking that this is maybe like the first instance of it happening in 10 years. Feels like,
yes,
you wouldn't like, how is a guild not become a company or the other way around? It seems like, and it doesn't really matter. It's just funny.
Have they even said like, so the name is Yujin Construction, but do they just like build buildings, I guess?
Yeah. Just kind of seems
like a developer or something. And yeah. I feel like the conclusion to draw from this is that if you have enough capital, you can make a hunter's guild.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And the goal would be to have an S rank hunter as the leader and Jin-ho's older brother becoming second in the command. But the issue with all that is that all of the S rank hunters are already pledged to guilds, except for one who
retired
right? And his name is Min Byung Gyu, and he was the healer in the very first episode opening of Jeju Island raid that we see. We kind of mentioned him. Yeah, guy in green. I think he was an S rank. Obviously, he's an S rank healer.
Like Lamplighter. What's the person's name from The Boys?
Yeah, it was Lamplighter.
Lamplighter, right?
Yeah.
This reminded me of him for some reason. I don't know why.
But
this is. I mean, I just like the fact that they tell us there's only 7 of them.
Yes, I think was that the first time we got that drop?
I believe so.
Okay. So yeah. 7 S rank hunters. And the issue with trying to get an S rank hunter as leader of the guild is that you would have to poach one of them from another guild, and that would cause I'm blanking on a word right now, just frustrations between guilds. Yeah. So obviously a no-no there.
It'd be like stealing Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With no recouping and just taking him off the team.
Yeah.
No, it would just be like, okay, that's
people
fucked.
Would definitely say that would be fucked,
because like at least in like, let's say like club soccer in the world, like, you know, you could buy Messi off the team and you would give them X amount of cash, but this would just be like taking prime Messi off Barcelona and be like, yo, Bars,
yeah, just free.
now we're just gonna win everything, sorry about it, go cry.
Yeah So I really like this conversation here. So Sung's really not interested, and Jinho keeps kind of countering, saying that Sung can't really keep up the secret of soloing raids because that'll bring too much attention to him. He needs other people, or at least one other person, to help him hide his power, especially with someone, at least one person with this much influence and power to be able to help him hide his powers.
Yeah.
And I really like the aspect of Jinho's mindset of taking a risk here on Sung Jinwoo, because I just watched The Last Dance for the first time, and like the movie Air with like all Michael Jordan. And
okay, it's just,
it's just kind of, to me, reminds me of MJ. You know, it's like all these scouts kind of coming up, or at least in the movie Air with the shoe company deals. And they're all like, we're not going to give you this amount of money because we're not confident in you as a player, yada, yada. But
it's like literally a little free agency, but with players.
But here's this one guy that's willing to risk it all on this one person who
has nobody, pretty much. Yeah, no name.
Yeah, and so I love the parallels here to MJ.
He's got eyes of talent.
That's high praise there, David. Yeah. Comparing Sung Jinwoo to Michael Jordan.
That's higher praise for fucking Michael Jordan than it is for Sung Jinwoo.
Well, not everybody knows that, brother. Not yet. Come at least.
On. He's that guy.
The final offer for Jinho is $30 million straight up for his services, but still not.
There's
enough.
A B on that.
30 billion was a billion.
It was a building, which is insane. Like, we'll just give you this building.
I remember like every time I hear these figures in like Japanese or Korean media, I always have to remind myself that the currency is different. Yeah. 'Cause like 30 bill, bro.
I don't know. What would that even be in US dollars?
I think it's like
30 billion yen is 200 million USD. Yeah,
I was going to say like 300.
I was going to say like 500. So that's even, the correlation is even less than I thought.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also $200 million.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So he obviously talks about it with his sister. He goes on a little bit of a run with her, and he's like, hey, hypothetically, if we came into this kind of cash, what are you doing? She's just like, save it.
Well, she's like, this is an insane hypothetical. Like, I would rather have it in cash than a fucking building.
Yeah, 100%. What am I going
to
fucking
do? Just sell the shit and give it to me. So I don't have to go do the hassle of selling it. I mean, great. I know that it'll appreciate and shit, but I don't care about that. Give me the instant gratification.
Yeah. So Sung declines, and then we're going to just really quickly cut to Hwang Dong-soo again, just discussing his brother's death. He's convinced it's a murder and is asking his assistant about the rules of killing others abroad that we've just kind of talked about, and I don't really need to explain any more of this. But so yes, this is where we get to the run with the sister, completely leaves her behind, but he does. Yeah, go ahead.
One comment on the Dong-soo thing is that it's notable that he is choosing not to do this because of his schedule.
Yeah,
just think that they're portraying him as this kind of hothead guy, but he's literally bowing down to a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just an interesting thing to know. We obviously know why, we'll get there and it'll be fun, but it's just I think a point to point out.
Definitely a good point to bring up.
Loved his brother so much, like,
yeah, bro, you don't love him that much.
You don't love him that much.
Yeah.
But Sung, while thinking about everything that's going on with the 30 million and whatnot, he actually overdoes it on his daily quests. He runs 11 kilometers versus the 10 and piques his interest a little bit in terms of why would the system still keep track of how much I'm running, even though I've already completed the quest, which then pushes him to double all of the exercises that are on the daily quest. He completes them, and then the daily quest then becomes a secret quest, and he is then rewarded. He still has the full recovery option, but I think this is where it gets a little bit different. One of the rewards is 10 ability points, which I think if he just does the dailies, it's like five
or three.
Three,
right?
Yeah, three or five.
A level up is five.
That's right. Okay, that's right.
Well, a level up is every category plus one.
Yeah, for everything, but still.
Anyway.
And then he has the option, I think, is it, he can choose between both boxes, or he can have both. Okay, so he has the option to either choose a blessed random loot box or cursed random loot box. And just one of these things that I a what if scenario, you know, like what if he chose the other box? What would have been the rewards? Because with the knowledge of just like everything that happens in this story, like,
yeah, it's his destiny, bro.
Yeah, that's just one way to put it without spoiling too much. So destiny, either way, just a fun what if to think about. But
that's literally the best thing you could get.
Yeah, so
he fucking gets an S rank dungeon key. It's like, okay.
He chooses the blessed box, right? Not the cursed, which, yeah. Kyle, did you read the chapters? Yeah, I mean, of course, but did you read the chapters for these by any chance?
I didn't know.
Because I personally felt like he had chosen the cursed box when reading, which to me makes sense. If he chose the cursed box, then he's brought to the demon's castle. Like, that kind of makes sense a little bit to me, but I'm not going to look too much into it. Doesn't really matter. Either way, he gets this key. Yes, and it gives him the key to the quote-unquote demon castle, which has a difficulty of S. And we learn that he can obtain an item called the Elixir of Life upon completion of the demon castle, which can cure any illness. We all know where that's going. He's going to use it on his mom, who obviously is a big part in his life. And
yeah,
that's kind of the driving force behind everything that Sung Jin Woo is doing anyway. So
he's got that Dom Toretto gene.
Yeah, we got one step closer to at least one of our goals here. And he immediately just goes right for the key. I was for some reason kind of thinking that he wasn't going to go right for it. I felt like there was going to be a little bit more training, but my memory was totally wrong here. He just goes right to the key, enters it. And he's immediately met by Cerberus, which I was surprised. Alki and I were talking about the episode, and I was just shocked that you didn't call Cerberus Cerberus. You were saying like Curb or Russ or something. Yeah, I was Greek dog, hellhound here. And
well, these American pronunciations bastardized anyway.
True, I didn't even think about that.
He hasn't bastardized my culture, dude.
It looks like he does choose the blessed in the webtoon.
Okay. But yeah, we kick off this fight. He just equips Wolf's Assassin. Still lame. Should be Wolf Slayer. And
yeah, that legitimately pissed me off.
Wolf Assassin.
Seeing that, I was like, what the fuck kind of corny
Wolf
shit is
Slayer,
that?
Man, it should be Wolf Slayer. But and then also uses his two best skills here, Dash and Murderous Intent, right off the bat. No avail at all. He's not doing any damage. His dagger effects aren't triggering. And I think this is where we're kind of stemming a little bit from the webtoon, if I believe I'm correct here, because I had felt like the venom that he drinks, he doesn't do it here. And I feel like he never accessed the store in the webtoon. I'm not complaining about any of this. I actually kind of like that this aspect that they're playing more into the store and the health potions. Like, I don't remember him ever popping a health potion once ever in the webtoon. So, and again, I'm not complaining. I think this is an extra, it's giving the world more
severity.
Yeah, and it's cool. I really like this aspect. So he's getting wrecked and he's at the point where he needs to heal. He has nothing and he does remember that he has access to the store. So I'm just curious to if you guys remember this or if you were kind of thrown off by the store part of it. Or
100%.
This is really early in the story for me where I'm just like, it's still building up, so I'm not
can't remember
the
specifics.
It.
yeah
he like gets it's he gets down to the health and he uses the full recovery trick. Let's call it a trick type of deal. And then that's it. Like he
that's what I thought.
Like wins that way. Yeah.
But again, so, I'm not complaining about this differentiating at all because again, I like the fact that they're playing more into the store and the inventory and everything that he has at his disposal rather than just relying on things that we've kind of already seen a little bit. So
yeah, they have to find creative ways. They don't have the advantage of word bubbles, you know, they have to find creative ways to explain things. And I think this was fine.
Yeah.
I think too that they didn't, as I just like quickly read it on my left here, is that they don't talk about like mana consumption. At all, which is again, it's just feels like there's a time and like they don't need to dump every single thing on us. I'm sure we'll get to a point where,
And the only again, I completely agree with what you're saying. The only counterpoint I would say to that is that I think the only reason they're not doing it is because he only has, you know, two skills, and they're probably not consuming really that much mana. They're level one skills that are dash and I don't even remember the killing intent or whatever it's called. Either way, they're like level one spells, so I just feel like he can cast them and not have to really worry about his mana quite yet. But that's just the only thing I'm really
probably.
But again, all this fight I thought was just beautiful. It was just so good. It was so hype because, you know, he's getting his ass kicked and, you know, total recovery to the rescue again. But we get some more closer looks into his skills. Like he has the skill Willpower, which is our first time, I think, seeing it. It kicks in here when his health is below 30% HP. He gets a damage buff by 50%. Crazy. Yeah. And so not only does he get that buff, but from drinking the poison that he gets from Kasaka, again, the snake, he doesn't get poison, but he only gets the positives from it, which is another 20% damage buff. So we're looking, I don't know if, would it be 70% then at that point? Maybe not. I don't know if it's like times 50%, then times the 20%.
That's interesting.
Either way, we'll call it 70%. I don't want to think too much about it, but.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass myself with math.
Exactly. So the whole thing
here stronger.
Is that he was supposed to use the teleportation stone to get out of here, the one that he got from completing
the wolf.
Yeah, that quest with the snake and everything. But he loses it. And this is where he now realizes he has access to the store and buys a healing potion. It's not enough to heal him full health. It gives him like 100 health points.
Yeah, it's like nothing.
Yeah. But
what's that work in though? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the 70%, the 70%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're really showing off here because he does get the upper hand.
The old trick, bro. The eye.
Yeah, you got to gouge the eyes, man. That's the
damage buff plus eye gouge is easy clap is what it comes down to.
It's the KO.
He's just, I love to, again, the eyes were good in this scene. This was another example of the eyes looking great. Yeah. It just adds this aura to him. It's fucking awesome.
One thing that I really liked, and one thing that I actually was kind of thinking about when reading at the time, is these big bosses, their movements, like how agile are they? Because, you know, these things can be, some of the bosses we're going to see are going to be fucking huge. And so what does that translate in terms of them running and things like that? And to be honest, Cerberus was like moving. He was dashing around, like almost teleporting. So I really was appreciative that they were able to show such a big character with such speed. And so it makes me look forward to the future fights.
The use of slow motion was great too, I thought. Like the slow motion enhanced the speed because it gave us time to like process with Sung Jin Woo, like, oh fuck, that Paul is coming in quick, and then he's off the screen. Like I love the way they did that.
And I love how there was no, you know, showdown of like no stare down, I should say. You know, Cerberus, when he would toss Sung Jin Woo, would just pounce for the next attack. It wasn't like throw Sung Jin Woo, let's just let him get up, do some things. Like there was the Cerberus was relentless coming at
him.
So I really like that. Yeah. But yeah, eye gouge and damage buffs. That's it here. And
it's the meta at the moment.
We get like, I didn't quite count exactly how many, but it was 6 levels, I think it was. Ooh. After beating him, which
he's flirting with 30 now.
That had to be an S. That is an S rank villain, right?
No. I think they said it was A. I think that is A. So my thought is that Sung Jin Woo, when he beat the spider, was a B rank hero, and now these 6 levels are probably going to up
him to
A
tier. Damn, that's
they were estimating that he was like about B, and then it had the red title, so it's theoretically higher than him, but it's not like. Not all of the beasts in S rank dungeons are S rank.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and he goes to he gets the key to the castle and is like, okay, I would literally die.
Yeah, so I was saying that the key was to the castle, but this was the key to the castle, basically. Yeah. But he looks up and he knows right away that he is not anywhere near ready for this dungeon. The other thing I want to point out is does he mention that it's, I might have missed it, but when he walks into the gate, does he say, oh, wow, this is Japan? You know, this is like the actual, I don't know if you guys remember that. In the manga, basically what happens is he runs into the dungeon. He sees everything is on fire, but it's...
Oh, it's like real world, but on
the
fire.
Real world on fire. It's not...
I don't think he mentioned that anything.
Okay.
I don't remember.
It's probably not a spoiler, but either way, the world that he's seeing now is the world that he's used to living in.
Kind of like the subway.
Yes, exactly. So except spoiler. Except this one's on fire versus whatever the subway was, just deserted, I guess you could say. He gets the castle door key, a couple other items that I don't think they told us exactly what they were. But then he also lastly gets a formula for the elixir of life. I think he actually gets. I was trying to pause it.
Parts
see,
of it.
I want to say he doesn't. He only gets the formula. He doesn't get any of the parts. But I think one of the random items that he gets is a dagger.
I think he gets one.
Is
of
it
the
a server?
He got a fang. He got a fang. Yeah,
it's a fang.
Oh, we're already about to upgrade the dagger. We just got the Kasaka's fang too.
We'll see. Well, I guess we won't see for fucking two more episodes because episode 8 is a recap episode.
What? Are you fucking kidding me right now?
No, they said it's a recap episode.
Wait, that's actually fucking stupid.
Oh, I'm pissed.
Such a bitch.
You can't have a 12 episode. Wait, fuck. It's going to be 12 episodes, right?
Apparently.
Yo, that's actually.
I guess we'll,
now I'm getting pissed off.
This. We'll talk about this off pod, I guess, and how we want to record with this going forward. But
I can't wait till the spoiler section of this podcast so I can. I could talk freely about it for a second.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. So
yeah, that's news to me.
Sungjin Woo castle awaits for him, and that's the end of the episode. We'll just really quickly talk about final thoughts again, and then we'll talk about that spoiler. But man, I'm so in love with this anime. It's unbelievable and how well it's lived up to the hype of becoming an anime. We've wanted this for years now, and it is absolutely delivered, and it makes me so
It's actually really interesting that the story itself wasn't as popular as it was. I'm really glad to see it gain popularity.
Yeah. I think what all like maybe quote unquote hinders it is it just being like a webtoon, you know?
Right, not a manga.
Yeah,
like
a lot of people,
Japanese manga.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure like it has a very dedicated community of people that have read it who love it, but I think it's hard to expand without like an anime like this.
Like there's so many stories that, you know, in the Shonen Jump, I know it's not Shonen Jump, but there's like the accounts and the websites and the Twitter accounts and the Instagram accounts that are all like weeb accounts, and they're like have the hodgepodges of characters, and it's like, you know, JJK, My Hero, and then no Solo Leveling.
The only thing I will say though is it got big enough to the point where memes were at least created using
it's true
panels from the manga.
And I mean, for them to make a Japanese anime that is telling as well, but
there probably just wasn't enough people were probably just reading it and not really talking about it. They were just like, holy shit, this is like a hidden gem kind of thing. But so we'll
see what happens with episode 8 and shit like that.
Wait, that's actually so stupid.
I guess we'll plan for now to do the same. We'll cover episodes 8 and 9.
Just be episode 9, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll let you guys know.
But
give some time now for people, anime only watchers, to get the hell out of here. We're gonna have our spoiler filled conversation, and I'll just hand it right over to Alki to talk about what he wanted to talk about.
Well, okay.
3, 2, 1, goodbye.
So I just now with this changes things about our prediction about where this season will end, because now we have one less episode.
Oh, because that guy, the comment did say that. Now I'm back on the team.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know
gonna,
if
I think it's I'm on back on team. It's going to end with him getting Necromancer, and that's it. Like he's going to beat Egress.
I think so too. That's like where my mind's at now with this news that it's going to be a recap episode. That's so fucking stupid.
Like, it may be just like him arising Egress, and like that's it. But like, I hope we get.
I guess the only thing I can think of now is like they didn't do a 24 episode seasons because it's kind of like how when they do pilot episodes for shows, they want to make sure it gets traction before they invest into you know, long-term production,
that,
but
I say,
still,
they're fucking idiots, because how could they not have read this?
So the debate that we were having a couple weeks ago was, is it going to end with the Necromancer, or is it going to end at the Red Gate, right? Or is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had achieved Necromancer before the Red Gate. We confirmed that, correct? So yeah it's got to be the Necromancer at this point.
We're on chapter 27, so episode 9 should be the real False Ranker. And then Egress's first appearance is chapter 38. So we have, maybe we'll get 16 more chapters out of 4 more actual content episodes.
Okay, so 7 more chapters. 7 is 27. That's 4 episodes, 4 chapters an episode. 12 times 4 is 48.
It feels like the necromancy will now be like the final thing.
So what did you just say? Egress was what chapter?
His first appearance is 38.
Which makes sense. And then he's fighting for like...
Yeah, like 100%. Yeah, get that. And then honestly, I mean, if you're going to end it somewhere, that does feel like a place to end it.
My least favorite thing that they could possibly do with this is they get to the point where Sung Jinwoo is being read the backstory of his class. And that's when he's kind of thinking, he's like, what the hell is going on here? This doesn't match with like healer, tank, whatever. And it's going to say the word, but it's going to be his head like blocking what the actual class is.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
And then you're going to sit on it until season 2 comes out about like, oh, what's his class going to be? Like, that would be worst case scenario, I think.
That would build hype.
I mean, it would build so much hype, but then people would just immediately go to the manga and just spoil it for themselves.
I don't know. I'm just sad that I need to wait 2 more weeks to watch reaction videos.
I think so our plan will be, I guess the anime's plan is going to be, they're going to do the stealth guy, he's going to kill one other hunter.
Yeah.
And then it's, I guess Egress and all that right after that. And then potentially Red Gate.
There's some more beef in there, but yeah.
I wonder how much.
They could speed through a couple things. After Egress, I don't know.
How much Huang Dong, do you think Huang Dong Soo now is going to be a season 2 thing? Not going to get to the
I could
Red
almost
Gate,
see like that being like a post-credit type of deal where like he lands in Japan.
And he's like, all right, time to hunt these motherfuckers down.
Yeah.
I feel like waiting a second season for that is kind of, I don't know if it will carry the same impact, because him just killing the brother is fresh. And now waiting till next season for the repercussions of the consequences of that seems like it will take away from it. But I guess
the repercussions don't actually happen until forever.
Yeah, whatever.
Either way, man, this is
whatever. I'm just upset that it's short.
We're arguing
because
over
I wanted
good
to
content.
Be.
We're arguing over which best moment is going to end.
That's basically where I'm going. It's like, I'm upset that it's going to be 12 or episodes or whatever because I want more. Not because like they're doing a bad job.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's positive. That's one way to spin it.
I'm so pissed right now. This episode 8.
Yeah, what the heck?
It has been like such a joy for like me and Alki like on the weekends to just be like,
it's nice.
And it's also pretty lit that it's on a Saturday that it releases.
Yes.
Because you could just like chill out and
this episode came out late.
I feel like it's always like late afternoon.
I didn't keep track of this one specifically. I think 2 weeks ago, though, when 6 came out, I think it was around like 1 p.m. Eastern time.
So where did you read that it's a recap?
Just, it's all over the internet.
It's like, oh my God.
Because people are just outraged.
How can you recap 7 episodes? That seems just so
stupid.
I mean, you got to be like, I don't know how you can't follow what's going on. It's not that crazy.
I think it's probably just to buy animators time and things like that. I have no idea.
Okay. Still,
buying time, they fucking have only 12 episodes instead of 24.
I don't get how, like, why do they do that shit week by week? Or like, why are they catching up to the releases? Why don't they just make the fucking season and then drop the season?
No worries. Yeah. And then no worries at all.
Like, you don't have to drop it all at once. Like, I'm not saying like Netflix.
But at least have like 6 done, you're saying, and then like.
Well, I feel like that's what they do, but then it's like they don't have enough time ever. Like, I don't know why you don't just develop fucking season. I guess it's because it might take years, but.
To the
I don't
potential
know, man.
One Demon animator Slayer, listening to us, our podcast.
Demon Slayer has been cranking them. You can count on them like every year and a half to come out with some shit. But they do like the 10 episode, 11 episode, excuse me, blurbs versus like 24 episode seasons. Anyway,
no,
whatever.
I agree. The love and passion that we have for this, for this anime is so much, but that's going to be it for today's episode coverage of Solo Leveling. If you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on all of our socials, X, Insta, YouTube, the works. Be sure to join our Discord and chat with us about anything that you're watching. Lastly, for all of our podcast catalog, check out BingetownTV.com. It's a nice organized list of every show that we've covered alphabetically. So if you don't feel like scrolling all the way through Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that is a good organized place to go check it out. And if I didn't say it enough, once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.